Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see all of you. Glad to be here. Glad that the Lord is here. And we're looking for the Lord to bless what He has to say. Our responsibility as ministers is to get the word at the Lord's mouth and then give it to the people. So, really, I was talking to someone yesterday and they were basically saying, we're just a conduit. We just are, we're here. We touch the Lord and then we touch the people. And it's just what we have, the Lord, we have to get it from the Lord or it's of no benefit whatsoever. It's true. You don't want to hear what Daryl has to say. Daryl has a lot of opinions about a whole lot of things. Some of them are completely wrong. Some of them are right. Some are somewhere in the between. But what we want to get is what the Lord has. Ultimately, what we want to do. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get to heaven. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do as well, to help you to make it to heaven as well. I have been doing a series on the gospel, and I feel like the Lord's brought that to an end, and we're going to pivot to another. I don't know where this will take us all together, but we're going to go to Job, the first chapter and the first verse. As I was meditating and praying about what to give today, this is what the Lord gave me. So if I'm going to give a title to this discourse, it will be, Have You Considered My Servant? And then you can put a line under that, and you can put your name there. But we're talking about Job, so we want to see that. So pray for us as we that we'll be able to get the word out like God wants us to. So Job 1 verse 1, let's read that please.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job.
There was a man in the lands of Uz whose name was Job.
That man was
perfect and upright.
He
feared the Lord God and he eschewed evil. So that means he just, when evil was presented to him, he just turned the switch off, the channel off. I'm not even going to consider it. This is what that means. When it says he eschewed evil, that's evil. I'm not even going to look in that direction. I'm going to go and I'm going to look somewhere else. This man was very, very diligent. Now watch what the scripture says about him. He was a man. He was perfect and upright and one that feared God, and he eschewed evil.
And there were born unto him
seven sons and three daughters.
His substance also
was 7,000 sheep
and
3,000 camel,
500
yoke of oxen,
and
500 she asses, and a very great household.
So this man was the greatest of all the men of the east.
So this was not just a regular man. He was a man that the Lord had blessed, but he was a rich man. And, you know, this is something that's very important because I've talked to rich people that are very rich, and they, it's like they kind of don't need God, but they realize they do, might need him. So they want to have him kind of as a backup that, you know, if I do need him, I'm going to keep my hand on him. But ultimately, I've got to take care of my riches because I got everything that I need right here. And so, but this was not the situation and not the testimony of Job. Job was a man that loved the Lord. That was his first priority. So do you see how it said it was a man in the land of Uz? He was a perfect man. He was upright. The first thing it did not say is that he was a rich man. It says that he was a man that loved God. This tells us what's important. All right. The most important thing is not how many riches you have. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world, right? $200 and something billion. Do you realize if he gave everybody in the world, there's 8 billion people in the world. Do you realize if he had gave everybody $1 billion, he would still be a billionaire?
Still be the richest,
probably the richest man in the world. 260 something, I don't know how many, but it's several billion dollars. I wish he'd just give me $1 million. I could pay the church off. I could do a few things with that. But this, he's a different person than Job is. All right. So he's a rich man. And here's the situation. There was born unto him seven sons and three daughters.
Yeah.
His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that he was the richest, the greatest of all the men of the east. Okay?
And his sons
went and feasted in their houses,
everyone,
just going about their life, everyone his day, and they sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. They were just kind of having a family reunion. Let's just kind of get together. You know how we do it. We want to eat. We get together at a certain time, and we just enjoy each other. You know, one of the things, I come from a family of 11. One of the things that really is enjoyable, we had a good parents, and we had good household, and it's just fun when we get together, and it's 11 of us and our children, and we all get together and just enjoy each other. It's something that's memorable. I've got many memories about that, Thanksgivings and all those kinds of things. This is what was going on here, all right?
And it was so.
And it was so.
In the days of their And the days of their feasts were gone about. Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So Job was not only a man that was concerned about his relationship with the Lord, and he was a perfect and upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil, but he was also concerned about his family. And he prayed for his sons. He prayed for his daughters. He gave sacrifices for each one of them. So this is important. What I do for my family is going to be affected by what I do. I pray for my children. Their names are called out every day. I just have two. But I have three grandchildren, and I pray for them that the Lord would protect them and put a little bubble over them, that they are making the decisions in a world that's much worse than the world that I grew up in. A lot of things that were once just clearly moral is not clearly moral anymore, right? And so I pray for them. I call their names out and ask the Lord to bless them, right? And not only do I pray for that, but I pray for those that will come into this world as a result of me. The union that God has given to me and my wife. Those are the individuals, my great-grandchildren, if the Lord should keep the world here. We pray for them. And you know why it's important for us to pray for them? Because somebody prayed for us. The reason we're sitting here and the reason we're doing so well is because somebody prayed for us. Even if we don't know who it was, somebody's praying for us. We're praying for people. Davey put in a request for those in the community. We pray for the community. Yes, who are we praying for? We have no idea. We don't know the names of everybody in our community, but our responsibility is to pray for the names of the ones that we know and the names of the ones that we don't know, right? It's important. Why is it important? Because we're praying that the Lord would save them. We're praying that if they are having struggles or whatever the issue is, that the Lord would, and the Lord takes that prayer and He places it wherever He wants to place it. We don't know. Our responsibility is not to know everything that God is doing, all right? So here is the background and what we see with Job. And Job is in a situation where he is concerned about not just himself, but his children as well. All right. Now let's go to the sixth verse, please.
Now there was a
day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, when we come to church, do you think that the devil has a front row seat? He's probably sitting over here somewhere, right? When we're praying, when we are testifying, when we are preaching, do you know that sometimes I get opposition while we're preaching, while you're singing, while you're testifying, the thoughts go away or something happens. That's the devil. That's why we should be praying for each other, and we should be praying for the work of God. We should be praying for the minister that stands up and gives us the word of God. He's feeding us what God, he or she, whoever it may be, are feeding us what God has given to them to give to us. Now, of course, we have an outline, but do you know what happens when I stand up and I preach? The Lord takes the words and some of the things that I say, I don't even know, I didn't have planned to say. He takes it in a direction. So part of our job as ministers is to empty ourselves out and let the Lord put His Spirit in and put the words in our mouths. That's our job, all right? And the better off we are at doing that, of emptying ourselves and becoming nothing but a vessel for the Lord, the better off our ministry is going to be. That's how to do it. Oh, Brother Daryl, did you practice? No, I didn't practice. But let me tell you what I am practicing doing. I'm practicing emptying Daryl out so that the Lord can be more there more. That he can exercise in Daryl's stead. You don't want to hear what I have to say. I have nothing exciting to say. But you do want to hear what the Lord has to say. All right? Continue, please.
And the Lord said
unto Satan, where are you? Where are you? Now, here is an interesting conversation. There are not very many conversations. We have a lot of conversations in the scriptures where the Lord is talking to a prophet. The Lord is speaking to a person. We see where people are speaking to each other. And when you look at the Bible really is a lot of stories about people's lives, right? And them talking to each other and having an understanding of what God is saying to them. But this is a little different. This is a conversation between spiritual beings about human beings, all right? So it's one of the few, I don't know of any of them that I can bring to my mind right now, any other conversations in the Bible, perhaps there are, where they're in the spiritual realm, or you actually go into the spiritual realm and you get you become privy to a conversation that you didn't even know was taking place. All right? Now, keep in mind, where Job was dealing with this, this is happening in real time. All right? We get to see it. We get to step back and we get to look at, see all of this is happening in the spirit realm, and then we get to see what's happened in the real world, in our world. Spirit world is just as real as ours, if not more so. But we get to see a side by side, a split screen, if you will, of what's going on in the spirit realm. A conversation between God and the devil. So he says here in the 7th verse, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." I've just been roaming around. The scripture says that. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, just seeking whom he may devour. So there is, whom he may devour. That's an important point, right? He can devour all of us, but he doesn't have permission to devour any of us unless permission is granted to him. All right? So you understand what we're saying here. So he says, where have you gone? And he says, "I've been walking to and fro in the earth, going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto him. So the Lord knew. So sometimes there's a context. And so a person is saying, you know, if you've been talking about something and somebody comes mid-sentence, somebody else comes in mid-sentence and you just pick up the conversation, they don't know what you're talking about, right? And so now here is a situation where the Lord knew what he was talking about. He knew, "Oh, you've been going up and down in the earth. I know what you're doing. You come here. My people are coming here to worship me, and you're coming here also. Where have you been? What have you been doing?" And he gives him that understanding. All right, continue.
"And the Lord said
unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?"
That there is none.
Now here is the Lord's testimony of Job. And the Lord testifying not to the world, but he's testifying to Satan of what kind of a man Job is. Okay? He said, "This is my servant. Have you considered my servant Job?" What if the Lord did that for us? First of all, I don't want him to do it for me. I really don't. I'm sorry, but I don't. I mean, I want to be the man of God that he wants me to be, but I don't want to go through what Job went through. And I'll tell the Lord that. I'll let, "Lord, please don't let me have to deal with what Job deal with." But here's the interesting and the most important thing, that if I do ever have to deal with what Job dealt with, the grace that was available to Job is available to me too. I don't have to fall. I don't have to get upset and disappointed in what God was doing and what God is doing in my life. I don't have to do that. So here is the situation here. And so he says here, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth the Lord." This is what is said about him in the first verse. And now this is what the Lord is saying about him. The Lord is saying that this is a good guy. And if the Lord says it, then there is something special about him. If the Lord says it, all right? Now everybody else can say, "Oh, Brother Darrell is a pretty good man." But that doesn't hold as much weight as the Lord saying it, right? Now that's what I want to hear. What's our whole ambition and aim in life is to hear what words? Yes. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. I don't care if you don't think very much of me. It doesn't matter if I don't think very much of you. It doesn't matter. But what matters is whether or not God thinks very much of me and whether or not God thinks very much of you. That's what matters. And that's what we're striving for. I'm not striving to make you happy. I think in the process of making God happy, I'll make all of the other ones that are in the world that touch my life, I'll make them happy, the ones that matter. Right?
Yes.
I'm using myself as an example here. But the ultimate thing is I am not going to compromise my positions and my convictions and my beliefs to make you happy, because ultimately we're not here to make each other happy. We're here to make God satisfied in the way that we live our lives.
Amen.
All right. So keep that in mind.
That's right.
All right. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Thou consider my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil."
Then Satan
answered the Lord and said, "No, does he fear you for naught?
Hast not thou
made a hedge about him and about his house and about all this on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land."
But put forth thy hand now.
So in other words, what he's saying is, yeah, but he has an ulterior motive. I mean, I would love you too if you gave me good health. And that's in essence. Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Job loves you because you've blessed the work of his hands, and you've given him good health. You put a hedge about him. There's nothing that no one can get to him. Well, of course he, but here's what I want to say. This is the devil now. He's saying, but touch him. What is he saying? Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has. And I tell you, I guarantee you, he'll curse you to your face. The devil knows human nature. He knows that there is something we struggle with some things. One of the things we struggle with is why does bad things happen to good people? I've had that question. People question me about it and expect an answer that makes sense to them. And that's an answer I can't give you. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. And I remember my sister was she was diagnosed with cancer, and she was saying, you know, why am I going through this? I try to live a good life, and now I'm at the end of my life, and I've got only 6 months to live. And why did the Lord do this to me? And there's other people that are not even trying to live right, and they're happy-go-lucky in their life. I couldn't answer that question. I couldn't answer that question for her, but it was one of those questions that you know, as a pastor, you search for an answer. So I say to her, I said, I have a question. You're saved now. And she was one that struggled in her salvation over the many years. I won't go into any detail. But I said, would you be saved and living as close to the Lord as you are now if he had not put this sickness on you? That was what the Lord brought to my mind. And she paused and she thought for a moment. And she said, no, I don't think I would be doing this. I said, well, then that's one of the reasons that the ultimate thing is not for you to be happy here. It's to be happy eternally. Right. That's the whole purpose. And so the Lord allows some things to happen. I'm not here to explain it because I can't. Well, Brother Darrell, you're supposed to have all the answers. I don't. I wish I did have all the answers, but I don't have all the answers, and I don't know why bad things happen to good people no more than I know why good things happen to bad people. All right. Other than the Lord has an understanding, and the Lord knows, has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord saith unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Okay, so we have this understanding. Now I want us to say something about this Job character. I believe in the Bible the Lord made certain characters for certain specific things. One of the things that he said is that he made Pharaoh. I can't get the why he made Pharaoh, but he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he made him specifically for a purpose for the children of Israel, to show God's hand on to the Israelites and to the Egyptians. And so the Lord had a man that couldn't get it together to say, okay, I'm just going to let the people go. But he's representative of Satan as well. So the longer somebody wants to get out of Satan's grasp, out from under his hard mastering, and the devil doesn't let him go, there is something that happens in his kingdom that is destroyed the longer he holds on to it. So at some point, when you have been tired of sin, and you come and you lay down at the feet of Jesus, and the devil releases you, he realizes that it's in his best interest to release you. Number one, because God is much greater than he is. And number two, that there's something happening that I have no idea of in his kingdom that we don't know about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like it was happening in the kingdom, Egyptian kingdom, that the more that they did, the more their kingdom was destroyed. And so the devil cannot hold on to you when you decide in your mind, I don't want to live like this anymore. I remember when I decided I don't want to live like this anymore, there was nothing the devil could do about it. I came, I laid down at the feet of Jesus, and I allowed his blood, repented of my sins, I allowed his blood to be applied to my life, and I was a different man from that point forward. How did that happen? I don't know, but I know it happened. It happened by faith, all right? So here is a situation here that the devil understands that if he can, that he understands that he has only so, I think this will help us out here. So Job had a hedge about him. So in other words, a fence. And that fence from the outside could not be penetrated by the devil. So there is protection that we have as long as we stay within the perimeter of what God tells us to. All right? And this is why it's very important for us not to sin, because when we sin, we break the hedge. Nice. All right? We break that hedge. And if you, this fence is not a very good fence. And the dog out here, let me tell you, she'll find every little spot that there is on the fence, because I've seen her do it. All right? And so what happens is she gets out. But let me tell you, her safety is not out there. Her safety is within the borders of the fence. You know what's out there? Cars. And if you dash across the street and get run over by a car, who did it? It's your fault. You understand what I'm saying? So in the same way, when we go out in the sin and all of us tried it, I tried it. And I regret, I wish I had never tried it before, but now I'm dealing with some, we have to deal with memories, don't we? And when we give the devil permission or God gives it to him. Now, Job eschewed evil. So when he saw evil and there was a temptation, he just turned his back to it. Now, the scripture tells us very plainly that all of us, all temptations are common to man. I hope y'all are following me. All temptations are common to man, but God is faithful, who will not attempt to allow you to be tempted above that you're able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So you'll never have a temptation that's so great and grand that all you have to do is yield. I got to yield. I don't have any choice. No, God's grace is sufficient. So now what this scripture is telling us, that there is a hedge about him, and what the devil is saying, if I could just get inside that hedge, if I had permission to get inside that hedge, I'd prove to you that Job don't love you. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that Job's trials and tests and the problems that he had, I believe that 99.99% of us will never have to go through them. Not all of them. Right? But I believe that God made a vessel, like I was talking about with Pharaoh, God made a vessel to prove to us thousands of years later that God would take us through whatever it is that we're going through. All right? That this God is not so horrible that he'll allow us to go through some situations and circumstances that are so terrible and then won't recompense us in the end. So what we see is we see Job going through the problems, the hedge. We understand now from a spiritual standpoint that there is a hedge about all of us, and either I'm going to break it, or else the Lord will remove it and allow certain things to happen to us. So let's make certain for a moment that we're not the ones that are breaking the hedge and doing disobeying the Lord, and we're breaking the hedge and allowing the enemy to get to us. So sometimes the problems is not that what God is doing, the problems is what I'm doing. I'm having a problem because I'm doing what I know I'm not supposed to do, so I put myself in harm's way and I allow the enemy to take advantage of me because I broke the hedge because of sin. I opened the door. We open doors to certain things. There are certain things that I wish I'd never opened the door to. I had to slam it, and then I had to slam it, lock it, and then apply the blood of Jesus to seal it so that won't ever be an issue for me again, right? But I broke the hedge. I'm the one that did the problems. I'm just using myself as an example here. I'm the one that did that. So now the blood of Jesus covers that, right? So here is what the devil is saying to the Lord. Oh, yeah, you're protecting him. I can't get to him. Let me get to him. Let me get to him. So what does the Lord do? The Lord says, all right, well, where are we? Okay, 13, I think. Is it 13? Okay. Okay, no. The 8, start at 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now here's the deal.
He said, you can touch everything about him, but you see how that protection is still around him? Don't touch his body. You can touch everything else, but don't touch his body. And so Satan did in one day. This shows you the character of Satan. He didn't just do something to prove something. He just, here's Job right here in the middle. Job right here in the middle. Okay, so we're going to remove that. Just remove that much of it, and he's here. All his children, his home, his sheep, everything that he has is within the confines of that. And the Lord had blessed him. Now the devil has an opportunity, and what is he going to do? Well, I'm just going to take his sheep. Then what are you going to do? He's going to take everything that he has. Everything that he has access to, he takes. So let's read this.
There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house.
Yes.
And there came a messenger unto Job,
yes,
and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them.
Yes.
And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away.
Yes.
They have slain the servants
with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
While
he was yet speaking,
there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven,
yes,
and burned up the sheep,
yes,
the servants, and consumed them.
Yes.
And I only am escaped.
I'm the only one that's escaped to tell you.
While he was yet speaking,
he came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword.
And I
only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, I can't imagine this. That just in a while he was, I don't know how long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that they were speaking, and he's processing that, and then all of a sudden another one comes. And then while he was talking and he's trying to process this, because we have to process it, we don't understand. He sends, have you heard somebody comes to you that something's completely unexpected and you just stand there dumbfounded? You don't know what to do. What do I do? And you're trying to process this. You, at this point, you're numb. All right. And they keep coming. All right. Read.
While he was yet speaking,
there came also another, said, thy sons and thy daughters. Now, this is the crux. This would get me. This would make me faint. I would lose everything. All right.
In their
eldest brother's house.
And behold,
there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. All right. Now, here's the problem. What you have is natural disasters. A couple of them seems like a natural disaster, right? So the winds that comes up natural. So I don't know, Brother Darrell, does the devil be able to handle natural disasters? It would appear that there could be some things that he can do. That is a question that I don't know. But apparently, according to this, there are natural disasters that come. The winds from the four wind from the came from the four corners, and a hurricane, tornado, or what? I don't know, but Brother Darrell, I'm just reading what the scripture says, so you can deduct whatever you say about that. But then we just have just natural criminals, criminal activity, right? Some criminal activity. And we have an understanding. We have an understanding that the devil has some control over other people that give themselves to it. But do you realize that some of the things that the devil does, we attribute to other stuff? We contribute to God. God, why did you allow us to do it? Now, why did he allow us to do it? We heard the conversation that was there. I don't know why he allowed it, but I believe that it is for our encouragement. Because in my mind, I am encouraged to know that whatever I've gone through, I haven't gone through what this brother has gone through. And if God has given him the grace to go through this, he'll give me the grace to go through this little petty thing that I'm struggling over right now. Lord, have mercy on me. If Job went through that in 15 minutes, let's say 30 minutes, he's still processing it. What is the first thing that he does? The first thing that he does, and he said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? What was the first thing he did? He worshiped. But I'm upset, Lord. Why did you do this to me? How dare you? I've been trying to serve you all of these days. But were you a perfect man and upright and to shoot evil? You can't say that about yourself. Too many of us can't. We're in the process of doing it now, but at some point in our lives we didn't. Now what's the first thing that Job did? He starts worshiping God. Lord, help us. And then what did he say?
Naked came I out of my mother's womb.
Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's the epitome. That's the standard that we can come to, all of us. It's not impossible for us to come to that. Lord, help us. Have you considered my servant? And you fill in the blank. Lord, I don't want these things to happen to me. I want to be very clear with that. Oh, brother dear, I can. No, I can't take it. I'm not certain that I'm there right now. But the Lord is not. Here's what I'm comforted by. I'm comforted by nothing is going to tempt me that's above what I'm able to bear.
That's right.
That I'm comforted by. And so may the Lord help us to understand that God can give us what we need. And God can give us what we need in every situation. So I believe one of the things that God did for us is to let Job go through this. And Job knew what he was going, as he was going through it, the Lord knew. I know Job's heart down in the very depths of his heart. And I know he's not going to yield. And I believe the Lord poured it, because we see it. He said, I looked for the Lord. He said, he knoweth the way that I take. In one place, he knows the way that I take. I'm going through this suffering. And when he has tried me, he says, you know what? I know what the end result is going to be when he's finished trying me. I know what the end result is going to be, because that's something that I control. I control my attitude. I control my attitude toward God. I control how I feel about things. And you know what I've learned? I have learned in my own experience that if I get angry, I can turn it off.
Yes.
Let me tell you how to do it. Somebody has violated you. They have made you, and you have a right to be angry. But there is something. This is what a shoe means. It means just to turn off or turn away. And I have the ability, and I've tried it. I have the ability, and you've tried it too, to say, you know what? I am not going to let that bother me.
That's right.
So what just happened?
Yes.
You made a choice.
Yes.
And what was that choice? To turn it off. Yes. I am not going to feel that way about this situation. I am not going to let that person over there that is making me angry control my emotions. And so therefore, what are the circumstances in life, the situation in life, I am not going to let that control my emotions.
Yes.
It has no control over me. So therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to eschew evil. Oh, the devil wants me to go and confront the people and be angry at him and all this kind of thing. But I'm going to eschew it. I'm going to turn off the channel. I'm just going to hit the delete button. I'm going to hit the reset button. And I'm going to do that by the help and the grace of God. Every one of us can do it, because every one of us has. But Brother Darrell, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know what they did to you, but I know what they did to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know what he did to them. He said, what did he say? Forgive them. Why? Because they don't realize what they're doing. If they realized what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. If they understood the full depth of it, they wouldn't do it. And so that's what we have to say to people. When people are doing things against us and circumstances are going against us, let me tell you, I have been in some difficult circumstances in my life, and I know you have. And you may have been through some that's far greater than what I've gone through. But let me tell you, I believe by the grace of God, you can go through it if Job can go through it.
Amen.
You can go through it if I can go through it. And I'm looking at your life and I'm saying, if you can go through this and this is a hard trial for you, then I can go through it too. Because we're encouraging one another. That's why the Lord puts us in a community. That's why we come together. Yes, there are going to be times that I'm going to get on your nerves and you're going to get on mine. But I love you. The greatest commandment, we heard a message yesterday, the commandment is to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. This is how they're going to know that we are his disciples. Why? Because we have fervent love one toward another. So it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you come against me. I'm going to love you anyway by the help and the grace of God. You might not let me hug you, but you can't keep me from loving you. You might not let me touch you or say anything to you, but you can't keep me from loving you. And you know why I'm going to love you? Because I've got to get to heaven. And the Lord tells me, if I don't forgive my brother, he ain't going to forgive me. If I don't love him, if I don't love my brother, the Lord is going to push me away. Lord, have mercy. I don't want that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that Job went through this? So I believe he went through it so we don't have to. I think he went through it because of the little petty things that we're, oh, I got a splinter in my finger. Oh, the world is just not treating me right. Those things are not what Job went through, right? This is far greater than that. But here's what I want us to say, and I'm going to stop here. Don't open the gate. Don't remove the hedge. Don't allow the enemy. You don't give him permission. If God gives him permission, that's a different story. God's going to give you the grace to go through whatever it is that you're going to have to go through. God is going to give you the grace. I want you to know that. He promised it, right? And there's another conversation. Let's see. Well, so anyway, maybe we'll save that for another time. But I want us to be encouraged that whatever it is that we're going through, God sees it. Yes, it's hard. Maybe you're going through something difficult right now. Maybe something, Brother Darrell, you just don't understand how horrible these people were to me. No, I don't understand. I don't know why they did that to you. I got a call the other day. Somebody wanted counsel, and they were going through some very difficult things, and it was hard. I saw it was hard for them. And well, what do I say? You haven't gone through what Job went through. And if Job can have the kind of grace and the strength and the power to when these things happen, that when he loses everything in a matter of moments, minutes, not hours, days, in a matter of minutes, he loses everything. And God still gives him the grace to do it. The Lord never would have done it if he knew that would have crushed Job. He never would have done it. So here's the point. The Lord knew where Job is, and the Lord knows where you are. And so whatever you're going through, the Lord never would have done it if it was going to crush you. That's not the kind of God that we're dealing with. But let me tell you also one other thing. Every one of us, the car that you drive, we all drive a car, I'm sure. Don't you want to test it? Don't you want to make, when you get in an airplane, you want to make certain that somebody's tested that airplane and made certain that it's not going to fall out of the sky. This is this Virgin flight, and we just don't know if it's going to make it to New York or not. That's not a plane I'm going to get on if I know that. And so going through the situations and the circumstances of life in a spiritual matter, what I've learned is, and someone told me this years ago, a sister wrote me when I first had the accident and lost sight in my eye. She said to me, and I never forget, I don't know why it stuck out. She wrote in a card, she said, "The Lord tries people that he wants to use to see where they are." And I didn't understand it, but that was, I don't know who else sent cards and all of this to me, but that I remember who sent it. And not that I felt like I was going to be something. I'm 25 years old or something like that, maybe 24. And, you know, you have this major accident and you just don't know why the Lord allowed that to happen to you at this particular time. But then I look at my life, and I look at, the Lord wanted to see how I dealt with it. He wanted to see how I dealt with adversity. And so sometimes when he sends me through adversity, and this is the only way I can explain it to you. Sometimes when he sends you through adversity, he's trying you for another level. There is something else that he wants you to go up to. And if you don't pass it, if you don't pass the 10th grade, you're not going to the 11th. Okay. And if you don't pass the 11th grade, you're not going to the 12th. And so there are levels that the Lord takes you through. And then not only that, but I want you to understand something about Job. We can look at Job and we can say, Job, the Lord blessed Job, and Job did wonderfully well. And Job is complaining and all this kind of stuff. But Job, I've read your whole life, and I know that it's going to be better in the end than it is now. Now, you know what? The Lord has read your whole life. And he's doing all of this to give you something greater in the end. I want you to be encouraged. I know what you're going through may be difficult, but be encouraged when you look at Job's life. Because the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant, whoever you are?" Question mark. May the Lord bless us.